Amen. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers. So today, as we look at that, the one thing we got to do the best we can, and it's not easy, is it? But like that slide says, to keep calm. God is in control. And it says, still in control. God has not given up on us. He's not given up on you. God's not given up on the sinner out there that is as far away from Him as anybody could be, because as I look around, we were all estranged from that of God. And Jesus Christ, through His death, brought us into a reconciliation back to our Heavenly Father. And God was in control then when you were a sinner. God is in control now as a child of God. And we got to trust that, don't we? Don't come to me and ask me why things aren't going the way you think they should be and why is God doing what He's doing. Or sometimes people ask, why isn't God not doing, well, why is He doing it? Why isn't He doing it? But back and forth, we go back and forth on this whole thing. And I just don't have an answer for you other than, but God is in control. I don't understand it. I don't get it. But I don't think God's word said, Tim, you're going to understand everything I do. It'll be as clear as anything you've ever seen in your life. You will know. Because it's not that way, ladies and gentlemen. What God does is only what God does in His timing and what He sees fit. But His love for us, and I know we go through things, and it's like, well, if He loves us, how can He allow this? And I have to divert back to this point in time because this is what's happened. We live in a fallen world. This is not heaven. It's why there's sicknesses and illnesses and good people still die. That's why good people, families, mom and dad and a carload of kids going to church, they get hit by somebody that drives recklessly, and the guy that or the gal that hit them lives, and this whole family that was serving God dies. And we go, what is that? How could that be, Lord? Because if I was God, anybody ever said that? If I was you, now this is what I would do. And then we get to a scripture like this. Let me just share it, and then we're going to dig into some other things. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become His counselor? Or who has first given to Him, and it shall be repaid to Him? For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Glory forever. Glory forever to our God. God doesn't need a counselor. God doesn't go before a board of angels to say, hey, I'm thinking about doing this. Can we have a vote? No. All the angels are there are just worshiping and praising Him, you know. And so God doesn't need a counselor. He doesn't need Tim's advice. He doesn't need your advice. He doesn't need to know what I'm thinking because He already knows what I'm thinking. I don't need to tell Him that. I don't need to really tell Him, God, you know, because He already knows. He sees us. And I believe He would say, oh, my son or daughter, I know the pain and the discomfort you're going through, but just trust me. Just trust me. It doesn't make sense. And where you're at, it won't make sense. But see, God has that vision of the complete picture of everything from creation, from the beginning and to the end. And that's where I myself even have to come to that realization. I've got to trust Him. I don't need to understand Him. It doesn't say, come to Jesus when you understand Him. It just says, come to Jesus to get rid of the sin in your life and to be forgiven of your sin and to be reconciled back to me. And to get rid of your filthy righteousness, because they are like rags, and let us take on the righteousness of God. Let us be a reconciliator to those that we come into contact with in this world, because God has a mission to serve through you, and you need to be His army. How many here are God's army? I hope everybody's saying, me, count me in. God's got an army marching through this land. There's deliverance and healing in their hands. And don't allow the enemy to tell you don't have healing in your hands. You don't have deliverance. And I would say probably, okay, part of that could be right, devil. You're trying to, you know, let's really dissect the sentence here. But it's God working through me, that of the Holy Spirit working in me, if that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, you shall quicken the mortal body. We will be serving Him. We will be functioning in the arena that God wants us to function in. And see, that's where we've got to be. We've got to be in God's arena, not in man's arena, and not in my arena. Because if it's in my arena, what am I going to do? I want to do it the way I want to do it. It's mine. It's like those kids in the ball game. Well, you know, the one kid that brought the bat or the one kid that brought the ball, if he gets upset and he takes his bat or ball home, guess what happens to the little baseball game out in the field? They get upset and leave. No ball, no bat, you know. We sometimes still do that in our adult life when we think it's in our arena. But we've got to get past that, and we've got to say it's not, I'm not even going to follow man. I don't want to follow man. Because I tell you what, look around. Man, when I say man, I'm talking man, woman, just the human people, you know. Although we're created by God and in His image, and He puts Himself in us, because of our disconnect, because of not being relational back with Him, of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, initially, man is squirrely. Man, because we have so many things going on in our mind. We try to reason things out. We try to make an assumption of things. We try to figure things out to the point of trying to understand even the things of God. And God has told us these things are mysteries, and I will show you some things and I will tell you some things, but God is not going to tell you everything to the point of knowing exactly what's going to take place. All of our lives, if I took a mic out there and said, tell me what God has done in your life and did He tell you exactly from the beginning, that's what was going to happen. I don't know if too many of us would say, yep. Just everything right down to the T. When I came to Jesus, He told me exactly this, and this is exactly what I saw. There's always those things in our lives that God hasn't totally expanded or expounded upon in our lives. Because at that point in time, when we were developing that relationship with Him, we would not be able to handle it. There's some of us in fear would run from Him because we would be saying, I don't have that personal knowledge. I don't have that educational knowledge. I don't have that ability within me to do what You're asking me to do, God. And we would run. But God can't tell us all the plans He has for us other than what He says in Jeremiah, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to succeed, not to fail. Paraphrase it. God's plan for everyone in here today, everyone outside these four walls, is to succeed, not to fail. The God of this world, the devil, who He says, you will serve either me or him. If you're not serving God, I'm going to just tell you, you've defaulted to serving the devil, the God of this world. And that's where death and misery and calamity and doom and gloom and lies and deception is all coming from. We have to come to that realization, understanding that what does God's word say about a situation? What does God say about my life? What in my life will I surrender to Him? Sometimes we have a struggle in our lives because we don't surrender all. Is there a hymn, an old song out there? All to Jesus I surrender. Many of us today, and it goes back, and there'll be in the future, the song changes from all to some. Some things to Jesus I'll give, but I want to hold on to the things that make me happy, you know. And I'll serve Him when I'm ready, and I'll give it up when I'm ready, you know. Yeah, it's not that. When we don't come to a full understanding of what the Word of God is telling us to do, to surrender all to Him, you will live in a life of frustration, aggravation. You will get upset. And even though you've surrendered all your life to Him, there's still times, because we're human. Anybody out there human? We will still have, even I've surrendered all of my life to Him, there are still times I go, God, I don't understand this. I got a problem with this. But God is a God of grace, mercy, compassion. And that's where He says, but Tim, keep calm. I am still in control. Have I changed? Doesn't His word tell us He changes, N-O-T, not? The only thing that ever needs to change when God is in the equation is you. If you want change in your situation, change yourself into the things that God has. Give it over to God and trust Him for the answer to be there. And like I think the prayer was this morning, sometimes it's decades, years, months, time we don't know. But we're counting that as what we see in the time frame of time. The calendar, the days, the hours. But see, with God, he's on a different time schedule. His years and days and hours are not like ours. But I've got to try to encourage you to know that he loves you, and he's there to see the hurt, the frustration, the pain that you're going through. And that I've got to get to that point myself to say, but I trust you, Lord. I don't need to understand it. I need someone to hold on to, and that's going to be you, God. Because I've just seen in your word, I've seen through testimonies in the print, I've seen testimonies or heard testimonies from those out there. I've had testimonies with my own life that I have seen your hand upon my life to guide me to where I'm at today and brought me to this place. And there's still more that you're going to do. I don't understand it all, but I'm going to trust you. So we find here in Romans, quickly, and it's Romans 11, 33, 36 is where I just read that scripture about, you know, it's his plan, guys. He doesn't need me to counsel him. But we find in 11, it says, Paul is pointing to himself as an example of the fact that there is a saved remnant of Israel. And that's what it's about. There's a remnant out here that God is preparing. And even today, we have a remnant that is being sorted out in these times that we're living in. Don't you agree? God is going to come back for a church without spot or wrinkle. But we know it is going to be a remnant church. How do I know that? Because I hear so many churches out there speaking against God's word. I don't see how God can come in there and receive them into his kingdom in heaven to say, hey, you're with me, when the church is away from him. And I've said this many times in the past, that my concern is that for the lost that's out in the world to share the gospel, the message of Christ, to help them. But the New Testament is all written basically for the Christian to tell you, watch what you're hearing, watch what you're listening to, watch what you're picking up, and be aware that there's a great falling away coming, and even the elect are going to be deceived, and I'm coming back for a remnant church. I don't know what a remnant number totally is going to be. Only God knows that. But I'm going to do what I can do in my power by trusting, knowing he's still in control, and that he's not coming to Tim to get advice on what he needs to do tomorrow. I'm going to go into tomorrow knowing that he's already prepared that for me. And I'm going to trust him for whatever the outcome is. And even if it's a bad outcome that I see in the flesh or in my physical eyes, I still have to trust him and know that God is God. Jesus on the cross said, oh, why have you forsaken me? Even the Son of God had that little doubt in there as we hear that as he was having the pain. And he said, if this cup can be taken from me, Jesus shows us in the flesh, God in the flesh, that when we go through these situations, we are, as humans, oh God, take this from me, I can't handle it. I think we all say that. But then do you follow it up with what Jesus said? But not my will. Let it be your will. If we are followers of Christ, you might have to come to that point in time, a lot of times, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. So we find where Paul is saying that there's going to be a remnant. And that's what we hear today, even in our little church. I look around. I was talking to a gentleman this past week, and numbers and things of that nature and all. And I told him the size. And he goes, oh, he was kind of like, oh, I'm so, oh, wow, I'm sorry. I said, hey, brother, don't be sorry. I kind of like a small church. I said, it's going to be whatever God wants it to be. I'm not going to pray against God bringing people in. But I do not have to have and serve 500 people, 100 people, 300 people, whatever the case. Because all I'm doing is I'm serving God. And I happen to show up out here on a Sunday morning with a message, I believe, from God to give us hopefully encouragement, insight, and the things that I share for you, I'm hearing myself, and I'm putting them into my life as well because I am going through stuff just like you guys. And I am no closer to God in prayer than you guys, you know? I think if we all said, okay, let's have a test. Okay, we're going to start over here. I'm going to say first, Heavenly Father, I come to you in prayer, you know? Okay, Don, would you say something in prayer? Well, it sounds just like what I said. You know, Pat, Janice, I know. We can go around and, you know, we all say and can have that prayer time with God. I always told people, you know, I'll pray for you or with you if you call me on the phone, but if you got a need going on, you don't have to call me to think that I've got the primary line into God. But I will listen to your call and we will pray. Because it's all of this, guys. It's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. When you have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you're not joining the church, you're not joining a body, other than what you're doing is you're joining the kingdom of God, and we're all unified and joining together for what he wants to do here. And we're not going to give up. You know, I'd said there's many churches out there that have kind of turned their back, and the message coming from the pulpit, even with their Bibles open, are saying that, well, this is not really what God meant. 3 weeks ago, I was in our council meeting with our delegates of our church, and we had a vote, and we were in council with one another, and this is what we think God meant to say by that. Wow. And I would tell you, if you attend a church or go to a church like that, you better run. Because remember, it says God has no counsel. Do we think he needs counsel? No, he's God. But even in the church setting, which we should be making a stand for that of the God of the kingdom of heaven, for speaking his love, his truth, his grace, his mercy, for people to see the light in the darkened times. How sad it is to see many of our churches, the light is dimming in our churches. Because God has slowly taken away that candlestick. Go into Revelations, those seven churches. Oh, the candlestick. He's going to take those candles away from those churches, and they're not going to be as bright. They're going to grow dimmer and dimmer and dimmer, because they're getting further away from what he calls sin, bad. If you want counsel, get with the Holy Spirit. If you want to understand what God is doing in your life, be sure you're filled with the Holy Spirit. What does our sign say out there as you pulled in today? The sign says, God spoke, Jesus did, Holy Spirit leads. See, we have to have an understanding of all three, how they fit in this puzzle, so to speak, of our Christian life. God spoke the world into existence. God still speaks into our lives through that of the Holy Spirit. We're to be led by that of the Holy Spirit. We're to have the truth by that of the Holy Spirit. We're to learn by that of the Holy Spirit. Talked to different ones that have gone to, and I told this guy this week, I talked to a gentleman even a week or so back. He feels like there's something on his life of a call, something about God, and he's wanting to serve God, and he's like about 39-ish. And so through a mutual contact that I have with somebody, and they put him in touch with me, because at about that age, 38, 39, I began to have this pull on my life to come out of the secular job and to begin to serve God. And my first instinct, or after I began to think about this, I've told this, but I thought I was having a midlife crisis. That's what the world will tell you when things kind of go upside down at a certain age. Uh-oh, you're no longer young, you're getting older, you're going to stop the aging process by buying a Corvette. Buying a sports car, buying something radical is going to keep you from showing your age, you know. I get a kick out of some of these guys, you know. It's whatever it is, but I mean, it's, anyway, it's just me personally. I just laugh sometimes. But we all know when they drive down the highway and you pull up beside some white-haired guy that's like 70 years old and a vet or something like that, you're going, oh, that poor guy. Get a grip, buddy, get a grip, you know. Maybe he can afford it, that's fine, but this is my fleshly thoughts of me. See, I'm not a perfect pastor. I have thoughts when I drive up to people. I go, what's he trying to prove? Come on. Anyway, okay, I was like, where is this coming from? So this gentleman, young man, comes out, and I share and talk. And I said, so you're probably, what, about 39 or 40? Yeah. I said, you're thinking you're having a midlife crisis. That's exactly what I think I'm having. I said, I was there. Me too. But I said, it takes time being with God, reading Scripture, hearing from God, shutting your mouth, listening to God, to truly have the activeness of the Holy Spirit in your life, so that I am hearing God. Anything that I transitioned to and did serving God, I did not listen or go to man for advice. I don't care if it was a Christian brother or a Christian sister. I probably wouldn't go to them for certain advice if I'm hearing from God. Because I've got to know that I know that I know that I'm in contact with God. How do I know that I know that I know that they're truly in that same realm of where God is at? So we get back to that point. God spoke. Jesus did. We have his example to see how he touched hearts and lives and raised the dead and touched the blind eyes and opened all the things that Jesus did. God sent him to die as that sacrificial lamb. But throughout a lot of that, we saw a lot of good things that Jesus did. But Jesus just wasn't born to come and heal the blind and open deaf ears and cause the lame to walk. His number one thing was to come and to put the devil in his place. His one reason to come was to die on the cross for his blood to cleanse us of our sins, for him to reconcile us back to God. All of these other things that he did, good things, hallelujah. But really it was to come and reconcile man back to God the Father. So he did all those things. And we as a church, and we as we go out, we are being led by the Holy Spirit. And I don't want to talk so the point of, you know, we're just, you know, happy for a low number of people and just a remnant. He's only coming back for a remnant, so why should I share the message? Because we don't know the size of that remnant, and we're told to continue to go out and take ground until he comes back. And not to sit there and rest on your laurels and say, well, I'm a Christian, I go to church every Sunday, I sit in a chair, and aren't we got nice padded chairs here. There's some churches that still have those hard and wooden things, you know? And we can get very comfortable if we just get to that point of saying, well, since I really don't know what's going to happen and God's in control, I'm just going to kind of sit and just ride this storm out. And when he calls me home, I'm going home and, you know, I got salvation. I want to be in it for the fight, to stand for my nation, to stand for my state, to stand for my family, to stand for the lost, to stand for whatever I need to stand for, to fight and to pray and to bring people into a relationship with that of Jesus Christ, to see him in my life so they've got something to say, what is this thing you speak of Jesus? I've gone to this church or that person or this one, and they talk about a Jesus, but they don't seem to have the joy or the excitement that you have. Well, I tell you what, how many want to go to a church and everybody's going to say, well, we're serving God today. So-and-so died the other day, and life is rough, and look at all the torments that the world's going in, but we're the church. We're doing okay. No. The joy of the Lord is my strength. A merry heart doeth good like medicine. I'm going to find the joy. Even in the crazy things that this world is doing, this is me again. I find not joy in it, but I find where I laugh at it, because some of the things they're doing and saying is stupid. It's like, don't they hear themselves even speak? But I'm going to have the joy of the Lord, and I'm going to continue to go and press on and keep going and pressing on until whenever he calls me home. And I hope I don't know what will happen. You know, when I die and they lay me out somewhere, if people want to look at me and maybe they got me out there, I hope I got a smile on my face. I hope I'm going like this. I hope I'm so close to God when they got me in that casket, my hands are praising him even when I'm dead. Maybe I'll have that. I want the funeral directors. I want my hands up, my lips smiling. And I told this one friend of mine, I said, you know, nowadays you can record things and it can be motion censored. And he goes, I might do that when I die. And I said, you know, I might put something like a speaker in the casket or something like that. And when you get like this close to the casket, all of a sudden you're going to hear Tim go, glory to God. Whoa. Booking out of the funeral home, man. This guy's alive. No, he's not alive. His spirit's in heaven. He's just here. Just having one more kidding with you. The devil knows he's got you down when you're frowning and crying and hurting and moaning and groaning and oh me and oh my and everything's falling apart in the hell. Hell is coming upon us all. The devil was saying, yes, even the Christians are believing this. I've got them right where I want them. I see hell coming around me, and I'm saying, praise God, God is God, he's still in control, he's going to come, woo, hallelujah, and if I'm going to be part of his army, I'm going to keep taking and claiming ground for him. Take a step and claim the ground, take a step and claim the ground. Jesus, let's go forward. So much of our churches we've recessed and we've gone back, and because it's so bad out there, we want to get back into our church and cuddle and oh Lord, we just sorry, Lord, help us, Lord. We need to go out there and say, Lord, I see the evil out there. Thanks to your word, it's already prepared me for it, because you said lawlessness and this anarchy stuff is going to happen. It's going to grow dimmer and dimmer as we go. So here's the thing, we're already alert to it. If you're a child of God, the army of God, we've been given the message to say, prepare, prepare, don't give in, don't give up, don't be doom and gloom. I do see doom and gloom, but don't proclaim those things. I see the fallacies that are out there, anything in man's, whatever man has to say. Well, oh, the depths and the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Can't we just hold on to that? Let me look at that real quick here. Paul is reflecting on this amazing wisdom and knowledge of God and his plan of salvation and breaks forth into a spontaneous praise. We get to that word, unsearchable are his judgments. Unsearchable, they're unable to be fully discovered or understood by us. See, there's things that God has that we still, we don't totally understand those things. And I think that's what's telling us. We don't need to understand. God is not going to tell you everything that you need to know if it doesn't really concern you. I know some of us think we need to know what's always going on. We call those people busybodies. You always got somebody in the crowd, you know. You got this group that's making decisions for whatever organization you're in, and there's somebody that really doesn't want to be a part of that overall making the decisions, but they always want to kind of have an ear in there, and they want to be a busybody to at least say, well, if it was me, I would do it this way. Well, then join the committee and get on. I don't want to join the committee. I don't want to get that involved. Well, you're a busybody. Hush. You know? God is in control. God is in control. All things. We get into that now as we look into this. Unsearchable his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has known that? Who has given to him and shall be repaid? And then it goes into verse 38. For of him and through him and to him. Of him, through him, to him are all things. He is an all-encompassing God. He's not just there for the good times or the bad times or this, that, or that, or whatever. He's there for all. Everybody say all things. All things, amen. All things, the universe, ourselves, our salvation, and everything else, all are from God and work through his... I look around, I can see some strong people, but your power will not sustain like that of God's. And it says here, sustaining power and ultimately furthering, and here's where it's at, guys. It doesn't have anything to do with you. It's to what? It's to give God glory forever. If we get to that level of point to say, whatever is going on, Lord, I don't understand this in my life and what I'm dealing with, or this illness, or this sickness, or lack of money, or my home, job, whatever the case is, all I want, Lord, is I want to know it's going to bring glory to you. Now, initially, if you're going through some situations, let's say health, and you're saying, I don't know how this is going to bring glory to you, God. People look at me, and they hear me as a child of God, and they say, yeah, but you got this sickness. That doesn't make sense. I would only say, I don't understand it myself. But I know God is my God. Now, as a child of God, knowing where we're going to spend eternity, where is there one place that there is no wheelchairs, no IVs, no sickness? Heaven. So, if I were to die in the natural here of heaven and illness, I'm still healed as I go to heaven. And that's our promise as receiving Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We've got to remember that whole process. And I'm not saying I've got a death wish that I want to die in the next 50 years. I want to live. I want to live, man. I want to go forth. I want to serve God. It's exciting serving God on this side of heaven. It's exciting proclaiming his kingdom out here in the darkness. This is a trip, man. I was never on drugs. I never did anything to alter my mind because my mind was already altered, I guess. Ask my wife. Ask some of my family. Tim. Where did you get that? But this is a trip, man, to serve God. It's exciting. You know, when people are going through a bad time, it's not exciting for that, but it's reassuring to sit there and say, but Lord, you've got me here for a reason and a purpose. Work and serve through me, Lord. Work and serve through me. Bring your presence into this place. Hallelujah. For his glory. Wherever you're at throughout the week, you're shopping, you're in line, you're at Woodman's, you're here, you're at work, you're wherever, I'm going to tell you, if you will truly say, for the glory of God, to God be the glory, people around you will sense something that's not of you. They may think it, but it's not of you. Because I pray, Spirit, go before me. Spirit, calm that situation. Spirit, give me the words to say. Especially, give me the words not to say. It's an amazing how long you can be with people that are going through a traumatic thing, and you can be quiet for, and say just a handful of words in 3 hours. You don't need to preach to them. You don't need to do anything. You don't need to do this. You don't need to do that. You just stand there. Answer a question and just stand there. Because it's not me doing it. It's not you doing it, even at your job. It's the Holy Spirit in you making a difference in that sphere that you're in. That's why it's important that we continue to serve God no matter what we're going through. We are in His army and we're going to continue to go out. Now, if you're in His army, you get wounded, come on back. Let's heal. Let's pray. Reinvigorate. Why we ask for the refilling of the Holy Spirit. Lord, fill me. Come back next week. Lord, fill me again. Wednesday or Tuesday, you've had a hard week. Monday already. Lord, fill me again. You don't know how many times in the week I go back to the Lord and say, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Refresh the Holy Spirit in me. Because I just got a text. I just got a phone call. I just got this. I'm praying for this. I'm hearing the situations that families are going through. Oh, Lord, I wish I could just go like that, snap my fingers, and everything would just be okay. But I can't do that, but I'm going to trust you and praise you. But fill me up, Lord. Fill me up again. So always be aware to keep asking to be refilled, to be refilled. It's nothing like being filled with the Spirit so much that when you walk, your shoes slosh. Hey, thank you, Lord. If you want to make a difference in this world, you've got to be filled with that of God. You've got to trust that of God. You've got to know that He's still in control, even in a situation that's totally out of control. You've got to trust, trust, trust. Faith, faith, faith. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Lord, I want to share what you want me to share. I want to be what you want me to be in the time that I'm there, in my family, in this situation, out here at the church, in the pastor's meeting that we have, or prayer times that we have, for God's glory. For God's glory. Hallelujah. So remember those all things. A lot of them. Although God's method and means and plans are beyond our comprehension. Have you already found that out? I have. Although God's means and methods are beyond our comprehension, God Himself is not arbitrary. Arbitrary. Existing or coming about at random or chance. When you have God, serving God, it's not the heavenly lottery that you're going to and you're buying a quick pick ticket and start scratching off to see what God is going to bless you with that day. It's not arbitrary. It's not just a random thing that God all of a sudden goes, oh, hey, Tim, I think I'll do this. Oh, hey, I forgot all about that. I want to surprise you with that. No, it's all under God's timing, God's control, God's precise directions in our lives. God Himself is not arbitrary. He governs the universe and our lives in perfect wisdom, justice, and love. God and Him alone possesses the absolute power and the absolute wisdom. Don't listen to man's wisdom. Don't listen to man's knowledge, you know, to a point, but don't take it hook, line, and sinker sometimes, that's for sure. Hopefully we can come to the understanding that we need to depend on God. I remember when I really was serving God and getting closer to Him, and my mom was still alive at the time, and I heard back through a family member, she said, or he said, whoever it was, I can't remember now, but they said, Mom says that you have that Bible as a crutch. And it's like, well, okay. And as I allowed the Spirit to sink in on me, it's like, yeah, yeah, God's Word is a crutch. I need something to hold me up. What does a crutch do in the natural? Hold you up. It helps you get someplace. God's Word is a crutch. God's Word will hold you up. God's Word will take you to your next tomorrow that God has for you. So, I was okay with my mom saying, oh, that Bible is a crutch. Didn't upset me a bit. But He has the absolute power and wisdom. Hopefully we can come to an understanding that we need to depend upon God. He is the source of all things, including even ourselves. You are not bought with priceless or with a useless price. You are bought with a price. You are no longer your own. Do you Do you realize you're not your own anymore if you're a Christian, a true Christian, a follower of Christ? You are not your own. His power sustains and he rules the world that we find ourselves living in. Who's living in the world here today? Who's alive? Me. I'm living in this world. Is this a perfect world? No. I understand that. I don't have, you know, rose-colored glasses on and think, oh, in the sweet by and by, everything is good. We got a battle we're doing, guys. We're here for just a very specific time. This is an interesting time in our whole society. His power sustains and he rules the world that we find ourselves living in. God works out our situations if we allow him in doing so. All glory belongs to God. All glory. Jesus on the cross, not for my glory, but for yours. I'll do what you want, Lord, but I really don't want to do it if you can take it from me, but I will do it if that's what you require, and it's not for me. Jesus says, I don't say or do except what I hear or see the Father do or say to tell me to do. That's getting close, and we've got to get close to God through that of the Holy Spirit in our lives. God works out our situations if we will allow him to, and in doing so, all glory belongs to God. Oh boy, we got to wrap this up. He deserves our praises continually. Now, here's a New Century Version of that same verse. And we're going to kind of wrap it up with a couple of scriptures here. But I want to read it in the New Century Version, Romans 11, 33, 36. Yes, God's riches are very great. And his wisdom and knowledge, they have no end. No one can explain the things God decides or understand his ways. As the scripture says, who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been able to give him advice? No one has ever given God anything that he must pay back. Yes, God made all things, and everything continues through him and for him. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. So if I look at Isaiah 40, 13. Now this was Romans 11, 33, 36. But just two areas back in the Old Testament that we're not going to get into the whole situations around it. But it does say this in Isaiah 40, 13. It says, who has directed the Spirit of the Lord? Or as his counselor has taught him? When you're the creator, guys, you don't need to be taught. He's already got it. And he knows what he's doing. Then one other area in Job. I like Job too. I like when Job gets into this thing with him, you know. And yes. If you're really having struggles, I guess we all should just read Job periodically because it's like, wow, yeah. Where was I when you put all this together, Lord? But in Job 41:11, it says this. Who has preceded me that I should pay him? Everything under heaven is mine. Everything else is God's. And then, like I say, just read through that of Job, and he starts saying, where were you when I created the oceans or the sky? When I did this whole thing, God spoke. Back on our sign, God spoke. Where was I? I was waiting to be born at the time when he said it was time for Tim to come into this world. When he thought the world was ready for Tim. Tim, I don't know if it's the same Tim as you, but that Tim over there, maybe. When he said the world is just right for Tim to come into it, woo, here he comes. Yay! But I want to serve him. I want to bring honor and glory to him. It wasn't always that way. I was raised outside the church. Didn't have any relationship with him. I knew there was God. I always prayed to God, even as a child. I knew there was something that put this whole thing together. But then in my 30s and all, beginning to really build a relationship and realizing Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, learning from that of Christ, learning then what Christ said about the Holy Spirit, learning that God had a desire and a call and I was to serve and do things just like you're to serve and do things for him no matter where he has you in secular jobs or retirement or whatever the case might be. You serve him until he calls you home, amen? Until he calls you home. And when I got so concerned when I felt God's call on my life, and it really wasn't that, it's just when I was in a church and they desired to ask if I would be willing to be at least voted on to become maybe a deacon. I had no clue about anything. I said, I'm totally clueless. I don't think I'm prepared for that. But I've in the very beginning of my walk with God, I said, God, whatever you ask me to do, I will follow you and do it. Not under my abilities and powers, because I got a clue. I think he was saying, that's the ones I'm looking for. Someone that doesn't have the clue but has the trust and the belief that I am God. If you give me that, I will work the rest of it out for you. Don't worry. So anyway, I thought, okay, let's vote me in if I want. I'll do that. And then I got voted in. I got scared. Why didn't they vote me out? I don't want to be a vote. And then I started worrying about my family, thinking, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. I'm going to start serving God, and the devil's going to attack my family. I just know that's how the devil does it, don't you? And then the spirit in me, something says, Tim, the devil's going to attack your family whether you serve me or not. I go, really? The devil is going to attack, if he wants, he's going to attack your family whether you serve me or not. It doesn't matter. And I thought, well, if that's the case, then my thoughts came in. Okay, if that's the case, by golly, I'm going to step up and I'm going to serve you, God, because I'm going to be a child of yours. And everything else that's around me, whatever happens, Lord, I'm going to have the power and you're going to help me. I may not understand it. Things might happen. I can't control it. But Lord, you receive the glory. You receive the glory. And use me wherever you want. And then I stepped aside. But please not in Africa. Not in a third world country. That's another thing that's kind of concerning when you sit there and say, I'm here to serve you, God, and I'll do and go wherever you tell me to go. You're opening up yourself to a lot of places. And then about a month or so later, he says, you know, Tim, your mission is your home church serving Pastor Hoblett. Serve and do what he's asked to be done. You help him complete what I've asked him to do. Can do it. Done. And here we are now. Here we are. I'm still relying upon him. I still love him. I'm still excited. I can't wait to see more of the things that this church is going to be about. I see things happening and rumbling and God. And you know, the whole thing is, it's not going to be on Tim's timetable or your timetable. It's going to be on God's timetable. I'm just asking, God, oh Lord, can I be a part of it here? Can I be here when whatever you got to go and go, it's going to happen? Hallelujah, we can give you the glory? I don't know. But this is his work. This is his church. You are his people. I am not my own. I have been bought with a price. And I'm thankful for that price of Jesus Christ to have bought my salvation. And I'm thankful that I didn't have so much of the world's thoughts and wisdom into me and knowledge that I tried to debate God about. I don't understand this could really be that. I just don't trust that. I don't see it. It's a hocus pocus, blah, blah, blah. I just came to him as his word says, come unto me as little children. Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, we need you more and more. I thank you for your relationship with us. I thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and the Holy Spirit leading and guiding. I thank you, God, for all. And may we as a church body, Harvesters Church, do things to glorify you. May we do that individually in our own individual walks, because each of us is the church. Each of us is the church, filled with that of the Holy Spirit to go out and to bring love and life and compassion to those around us. And it's not us, but you working in us. We thank you, Father. We worship you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Oh, for looking at us and using us for such a powerful thing. But all you're looking for is those that say, here I am, Lord, use me. Lord, I don't understand it. I'm going to keep my eyes focused upon you, Heavenly Father. And in those times of trials and things that I see and I don't understand, Lord, and I begin to waver or whatever it might be, Lord, I just pray for an infusing of you into my spirit, Lord, to hear your spirit softly tell me, I'm with you, Tim. I have not left you. Just trust me. Trust me. I am still in control. I love you, Father. And yes, I do trust you. Now, Lord, as we go today, I ask you to bless the gift and the giver, Lord, as they sow into your kingdom with their tithes and offerings, Lord. And so bless each one now, I pray. Bless that which is given. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. And as we go forth, Lord, continue to guide us and lead us and strengthen us in these days ahead. Amen. Amen.